Desire tonight that this message would be simple enough for the younger school-age children to understand it. Because the earlier in life that we understand the subject of this evening, the more we could potentially think about it as we grow older. And so I'm going to read a poem that I learned in school when I was either in fourth or fifth grade. I'm planning to read a poem. It's a very simple poem. And you school children, fourth or fifth graders, should be able to understand it. The title is this: A Little Brother Follows Me. A careful boy I want to be, a little brother follows me. I do not dare to go astray, for fear he'll go the self same way. I cannot once escape his eyes. Whate'er he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says he's going to be that little brother following me. He thinks that I am good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The bad in me, he must not see that little brother following me. I must remember as I go through summer's sun and winter's snow, I am building for the years to be that little brother following me. And there would be nothing wrong with taking out the word brother in that case and putting in sister, because in some cases there's a little sister following. The title this evening is The Testimony and Influence of Our Lives. Now, if you were to define the word testimony, what is it? What is testimony? We want to look at that. If you were to define what influence is, what is it? And right in with that whole thing of testimony and influence is packed in reputation. It's kind of a threesome, like a triangle, a triad. Like testimony, influence, and then, of course, reputation. There's influence, testimony, and yes, I think you got it there. So when we think about testimony, what is testimony? And we think about influence, what is influence? And we think about reputation, what is it? It's what people know about us. And the things that we do and how it affects somebody that's close to us, that little brother following us. And this gets really, really, really practical. So a 17-year-old now takes his 10-year-old brother down the road to fill the car with gas on a Saturday night. He's not going to buy gas on Sunday. So what kind of music is Big Brother listening to? And would it be any surprise if it was something that Mom and Dad wouldn't approve of, that he would be slightly... What is my big brother doing? And the list could go on and on. And so the girls might be doing something and a little sister's following. What kind of influence is that? In hair arrangements, and the list could go on and on there. But you know, the older we get, the more influence we have over more people, because we travel more possibly, or we have been to more places, we've been to Bible school, or we get to know people that we work with, and the spheres and circles of influence, testimony, and reputation ever get bigger, like the ripples of a stone thrown into a pond, and they spread and they spread and they spread. And people, you can probably think back to people from your youth, some of you older ones who greatly influenced your life, and some people who you used to be with and spend a lot of time with, who because of decisions that they made, you decided for your own spiritual good, maybe I better not be with them because of this very same thing. So it all has an extremely positive side and it has an extremely negative side. And you know what? We can blame, well, because I've had this in my history, I've had some poor choices in life, and we can make excuses all day long about why we are the way we are and why we're not doing what we should be doing or what we know is right. We can make excuses all day long, but regardless of whether we're on the good side or on the bad side of it all, that influence goes out regardless. And you know what else? Because of that influence and testimony, there are eternal consequences. And that is very serious tonight. And someone has asked the question, why is it that hell is eternal? It is because the evils of people done centuries ago still have the ripple and carry down effect through the years. And the ultimate consummation of all of that evil and the effect that it has had on all kinds of people across the globe, in some cases, will never be known until God says it's enough. Just for one example, think of the man that made up the evolution theory. How many thousands and millions of people across our planet have been affected by the false teaching of evolution? And if that man died without making that right with God and confessing his sin and denying the Creator, he has got a lot to face in eternity. And that's serious stuff right there, because the testimony, the reputation, and the influence of his life is still going forth. And it is gaining terrific traction right in this country. In fact, I wouldn't doubt that the local universities and schools of our local cities are very, very full of that, because they want to do away with this one right here. And all of that and the propagators of that one day face judgment. One day face judgment. But you and I are not exempt from that. The circles of our influence go out and go out and go out. Now I want to focus just a bit on the word testimony. It's a statement that is used for proof or for evidence. A statement used for proof or for evidence. And then it is a confession of one's religious beliefs. What your profession is. And I'm going to tell us something. We think about our faith and our confession. We think of that. But that is not the only thing. That's not the only religion out there. Because the New Agers have their religion too. And that is their testimony. And they promote it. And they enforce it. And that is one reason why some of the even environmental and climate change. Somebody handed me an article the other day that I haven't gotten to read. But it says that climate change was invented by the environmentalists. And I thought that was a pretty good title. It didn't come from the word of God, because God's word says, as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter shall not cease. But the environmentalists invented climate change. But I'm pretty concerned tonight about the testimony. The testimony of God's people, the testimony that we leave. And not only that, but if we're here tonight and we're not right with God, what is the testimony that radiates forth? And what is the eternal consequence of our lives, our life's reputation, our life's influence, and our testimony? I'd like to look at several scriptures this evening. I invite you, first of all, to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, and I'm just going to look at a few verses, and notice the word testimony and where it stands out in these verses. And I know that I read some of this the other night, but I just want to pull out verse 11. Revelation 12, 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, if you would like to have a little devotional tomorrow morning, and you would like to have real victory in your life as a Christian, as a young person, as an older person, if you want some real food for thought, you look at God's threefold recipe for victory right there. Overcame. These people that overcame the onslaughts of the devil that we talked about the other night. How did they overcome? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, number two, and by number three, they loved not their lives unto the death. A life of self-denial, that they did not esteem their own life more than the cause of Christ. In other words, they gave their lives for Christ or were willing to at the best. They were very willing to give it for the cause of Christ. But notice the word of their testimony. Now, if someone was to walk up to you and say, what is your testimony? What would you tell them? Think about that for a bit. Do you have one? Is it alive and real? You know, some people haven't had much chance to say it. I remember the story I heard as a young man. It really gripped my heart. This lady, well, it was actually a group of young people dismissing from a, and it was not a setting like ours. They were leaving a youth activity out of a church building. And some hoodlums were outside the door. And they met this one young lady as she walked out. And they said, do you believe in God? And she said, yes. And they, bam, that was it. She dropped dead in her tracks. That was her last testimony. She believes in God. You know? And that's happened to more than one person. The testimony, they don't love their life until the death. Now verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman. This is chapter 12 of Revelation still. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is looking at the one side of it, the good side of it. Do you have the testimony of Jesus Christ as being Lord and Master of your life? Has that shown today? Has that shown through this week in your life and your words and behavior? Has it shown in mine? We're either on one side or the other, my friends. We're either have that testimony or we're hankering after the things of the world. We cannot serve God and mammon. It's no, we can't do it. Jesus says we can't. Do we have the testimony of Jesus Christ? I don't know if I have these things in good order, but let's go back to 1 Peter in chapter 3. We read a little bit the other night about well-doing out of 1 Peter. Part of the will of God for us, and part of the will of God is also that we suffer. I don't know if we pulled these verses out and read them because I didn't check back to see. But regardless, I want us to note 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Now, I just have this feeling that if this church, if our churches, if our people are here for another 5 to 10 years, some of this type of thing may become a lot more real than it has been for us. I just feel that way. Maybe you don't agree with that, but I tell you, the way things are in our world, the political climate we're looking at, the economic climate we're looking at, I just got a little notice today that our electric bills are going to be rising something like 14% or something like that for all the customers of a given electrical supplier. And you know, that might just be the beginning of some tougher things. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man. And that answer can't be there if it's not in here first. If it's not in my heart and mind, it can't be expressed. It can't be if it's not there first. And upon that is its contingent, our testimony, our reputation, and also our influence. And you know, if you ever went to one of those seminars that they had down a couple years ago at Martindale Reception Center when they had some selective service people there, I don't know if any of you were there or not, but they say in every one of our communities, there are people who are watching driving records, They're watching behavior among our young men and young women who could potentially be enlisted in armed forces. They have watchdogs, as it were, out there watching how we're behaving. And when the day comes, whenever there would be a draft, and watching the CAS program and who is enlisting and who is not, and so on and so forth, and VS, and they have people noting that. You don't know who they are. They might be the people that you deal with every day. But they say that they're out in our communities and they know who we are, where we are, and they're watching. And whenever you have to give an answer before a panel discussion of that type of people, they are on target with what they come to the meeting with the facts. And we'd better hope that we were our testimony and our life was where it should have been. We'd better hope that it was. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. Jesus is speaking of end times. At least I suppose he is. Potential persecution. We're looking at verse 10. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my sake. And why does it happen? Verse 13. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom with all your adversaries that shall not be able to resist nor gainsay. Now, isn't that a wonderful promise? If that ever happens to you, you can have the assurance that God will give you the words in that day and in that hour to say what you need to say. Isn't that a blessing? Do we believe that tonight? But I'm going to tell us something. Spending time in prayer before God one day at a time, today and tomorrow and the next day, and reading the Bible is really good preparation for such things. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. And remembering the impact of my testimony, influence, and reputation throughout my day-by-day life might be very crucial in moments like that. Now let's go yet to 2 Timothy in chapter 1. Second Timothy in chapter 1, and I'm now at verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I just have to tell you this story. Some of you older brethren here remember at the Providence congregation some years ago, there was a man around by the name of Brother Arthur Good. Some of you might remember him. And even before I was ordained, I just loved to visit with Brother Arthur. He was such an inspiration. I often told him, Brother Arthur, just be faithful. Do you know what he would say? Inevitably, he'd say, I've served God all these years. Why would I ever quit serving him now? I mean, that was just his testimony. It was just right on the tip of his tongue. And one day I walked in there in the afternoon, and he was in a hospital bed there on the one side of the room where the house, wherever they had kind of for him in his sunset years, about 98 years of age. He wasn't doing real well. I think he had just a common cold, and it was kind of hard on him. But they had him sitting up in his bed. They set his bed up like this. And so he was looking at me square in the face as I come walking in. I said, "Brother Arthur, how's it going?" And he, with that jubilant face and big smile, says, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day." What a testimony, brethren and sisters. What a testimony of a 90-some-year-old man. And that's the way he died, as far as I know. And that stands as an encouragement to me. And I think back to that and think of the influence that he's had in my life. And his one son never stayed as plain as his father. But he said, when we as a were gathered there with the family the morning before the funeral, he said, "There's something I can tell you about my dad. The testimony in life that he had on Sunday morning was the same life that we observed throughout the week at home. It was very consistent. And if I could say, have any goal in life, that the person that I would claim to be on Sunday morning would be the same kind of person I'd be throughout the week. Would that be okay?" And that was his son's testimony at the time of his death. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Don't be ashamed of it. Why? Because Jesus says that in the judgment day, if we have been ashamed of him before this adulterous and perverse generation, he will be ashamed of us before the Father and the holy angels. But he says if we confess him before men and we are faithful with our testimony, he says that in that day he will acknowledge us before the Father and the angels. And he will not be ashamed of us. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the gospel of Christ." The testimony of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of it. Stand for Jesus. Stand for Christ. Stand for Bible truth. Please. For your own good. A proverb writer says it this way, thinking a little more about the reputation. "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." It's better to have a good reputation and to be a positive influence than to be wealthy. Do you know there's a lot of wealthy people out there? But let me tell you, to have a good reputation is a lot more valuable. It's just a lot more valuable. And to have loving favor as parents, as older siblings, on the job, it's better to be known for loving favor rather than to be one that has a pretty thick bank, pretty heavy bank account, or a pretty thick wallet. Loving favor is better. Now I want to think a little bit about negative influences tonight, because they're not all positive. In the Bible we have illustrations of both, and vivid illustrations of both. And you remember, and maybe we'll look at, I'm just going to kind of mix and match them here. Maybe before I go there, I would like to just, as we think about this whole thing of testimony, reputation, and influence, and I don't know if I even said the title. The title tonight is "The Testimony and the Influences of Our Lives." The testimony and influences of our lives. I know sometimes I fail to give the title, but that is the title tonight. The testimony and influences of our lives. But just let's think a little bit before we go into some Bible examples. Let's just think a bit about what words, what thoughts come to your mind when you think of the name Adolf Hitler. What do you think of? Now, we weren't alive then, but most of us have at least some idea. What ideas and thoughts come to your mind as you think about, and what you studied and know, Abraham Lincoln? What thoughts come to your mind as you think of a person named Fanny Crosby? Anything come to your mind? What thoughts come to your mind as you think of a name like Amy Carmichael? What comes to your mind? You know, those influences have been long since passed in a certain sense, but the The testimony, the effect still goes on and still reverberates down through history. And the list could go on. You know, what comes to your mind? Some of you would know what I mean when I say Elvis Presley. What comes to your mind there? And although if you went to Graceland there in Memphis, Tennessee, you would see all kinds of eulogies. You would see all kinds of eulogies to this man and the great fame that he had and all of that stuff. But to my knowledge, he died of suicide. And I don't care what kind of man he's lauded in the eyes of men to be. If he died living with another man's wife or a wife that was not his own and died in suicide, we're not going to see him in the pearly gates either. It just seems that way to me. I don't care what the epitaph is written on his gravestone. And we could name a couple other people. But I just want us to know something tonight. That a testimony, our reputation, our influence is pretty important. And if we've lived an ungodly life year by year, day by day, and we never gave room for Jesus to be Lord and Savior of our lives, if we never allowed that to happen, and one day we're suddenly taken in an accident or something like that, and our body lies in a box in front of an auditorium somewhere, maybe the first time we've been to church in a long time, it's impossible for the most wonderful speaker to add a wonderful eulogy, attach a testimony of goodness and godliness to a life that wasn't that way. It's impossible. It's impossible for a preacher or anybody to add an epitaph of blessing on a life that was evil. That reputation, my friends, we're making one day at a time. We're making it one day at a time. The testimony, the influence, the impact of what we are doing with our lives. Now, I'm going to tell us tonight, there is such a thing as a late in life conversion. How many of you have heard the song, "Must I go and empty handed, thus my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give him, lay no trophy at his feet." How many of you know that song? "Must I go and empty handed, must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go." Do you know who wrote that or why that was on their mind? He had lived a life of sin and lived a life of sin, and on his deathbed, about a month before his death, he was led to Christ. About a month before his death. And although he was happy in Jesus and salvation meant a lot to him and he knew he was saved and going to heaven, he thought about all the years that he wasted. And one of his friends came in and saw that sad expression, and he said, "Must I go empty-handed?" But I'm going to tell you something. I'm one person that just can't about sing that song without crying about it, because when I think about sometimes what persons tried to invest in God's kingdom, maybe not, and what little bit might have ever come out of it. "Not at death I shrink nor falter, for my Savior saves me now. But to meet him empty-handed, thought of that now clouds my brow. Oh, the years in sinning wasted, could I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior, to his will I'd gladly bow. Oh, ye saints, arouse, be earnest, up and work while yet 'tis day. Ere the night of death o'ertake us, strive for souls while still ye may." And what is your testimony going to be? You know, there have been foxhole prayers. I have one at home that I cannot read it without breaking up, because I realized it in that poem. It's a poem that was found by the body of a 19-year-old soldier. He was told all his life about the doctrine of evolution. He was told all his life that there is no God. But somehow, when he realized that the war was closing in on him and they probably weren't going to make it out alive, somehow God got through to him. And he just expressed his thoughts and reaching out to a God that he never knew. And that poem just shakes me up when I read it. And there have been people who in the last moments have called him the name of the Lord and have been saved. That is so true. But for many, it's never going to happen. I tell you, the first earthquake that I ever felt in my life, It was a Sunday morning, and I was taking a little nap after milking the cows in the morning before church Sunday morning, and the house started to shake and carry on, and I just, whoo, what was this? And it was the first time, I was 19, and this house starts to shudder and carry on. I said, what in the world? And it was all new to me. But I'm going to tell you something. At that moment, I was watching what was rattling, what was moving. I wasn't thinking one bit that the coming of the Lord might happen just at this minute. My mind was what was going on around me. And I thought, how many people think that in the last minute of time, they're going to get it ready? They're going to make it right yet quick. Oh, my friends, we can't take that chance. We just can't. We just can't. A lot has to do with the testimony we carry from day to day. Think a bit about now Bible characters. Think about David and Jonathan. They were good friends, boys that cared about each other. And it says there that Jonathan strengthened David's hand in God. Isn't that a noble thing? What happens when two brothers are visiting, two sisters visiting, and before you leave one from another, you shared some things, have just a little word of prayer, and you feel more invigorated and more inspired to go and face life again? What a blessing that is. That's just terrific. But what about Jonadab and Amnon? Do you remember the name Amnon? Jonadab was Amnon's cousin, and he gave him some pretty bad advice. Very bad advice. And what kind of influence ricocheted off of that experience when Amnon forced his sister into doing things that weren't right? Influence. It just goes on and on and on. Good influence does, and bad influence does. And I know a man very well. Who gave the testimony that one time during a week of revival meetings, he was out there with a hot rod car and making smoke shows and squealing tires and stuff, and the evangelist was in there behind the pulpit preaching, and suddenly the evangelist called a stop to the service. He said, there's a young man in trouble out there in that car. Let's stop right here and pray for him. And today that man travels far and wide preaching the gospel. He travels far and wide because he himself says that he took young men for the first time into the movie theaters and took them to places they shouldn't have gone. And he's older now, and he's white-haired now, and he preaches and he preaches and he preaches. And he preaches to young people. And I remember being present one time when this very man that I'm speaking of was preaching. And outside there was a loud vehicle just reared back and forth and back and forth and back and forth in front of the church building. Do you know what happened? The evangelist that night said, stop. We're going to stop the service right now. We're going to have a prayer for whoever's in that vehicle. There are a troubled soul out there. And what's the influence of your life and mine? What is the reputation? What is the reputation that goes along when someone hears your name, my name, our children's names, our grandchildren's names, people we work with, the people we meet at the store, when we take a trip and go somewhere? What is the reputation? What's the testimony that's left behind? It's pretty important, my friends. It's very important. Some people are going to spend a lot of time lamenting the bad influence that they have been in eternity, because there's no way to reverse it then. But God is not forgetful to remember that labor of love. And it might have been a small thing. It might have been that invalid we talked last night about that dropped that little paper out the window, anointed with prayer, and it fell into the hands of that bartender. Remember that story last night? That stuff God doesn't forget, my friends. And it might be ever so small, a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name. Those things, I'm telling you, we make the decision which side we go for in eternity by the way we live our lives, our testimony, our reputation, and our influence. It's so important. It's so important. But how is yours and mine tonight? Let's not think about everybody out there. Let's think about ourselves. Did you ever think of what a beautiful testimony it was for the Virgin Mary when that angel showed up one day. I just cannot fathom what that must have been like and what she felt at those moments and what her testimony was as a result of that. Go back to Luke chapter 1 and you can read it for yourself. She was ready to be used of God for a most wonderful responsibility, and yet one that cost her so very dearly. And you know what? The Catholic people venerate Mary very much, and they venerate her more than they should. But I'm going to tell us something. One little piece of advice that a Catholic priest gave to an audience one Sunday morning, I think does, he saying this to a people that are not used to plain dress and so on, he said that every one of our women should learn to dress at least modestly like the Virgin Mary would have been. Because I'm going to tell you something. If she would have been dressed the way some women dress or don't dress, she wouldn't have been fit to be the mother of Jesus. So just keep that in mind. God puts a high priority on purity and holiness and modesty. Let's never forget that. And by those things, we can influence a lot of people. And when we go to the beach and when we go places, if we ever do such things, I don't know what all you do, go swimming for the afternoon. Just keep some of that in mind, because you are influencing people. Someone's going to see. Someone's finding out. Somebody might take a picture. And please be careful, my friends, because the testimony, the reputation, and the influence. And what I say to you all, I say to myself. I told you in the first night of these meetings that I'm just a man. I walk on the same ground everyone else does. But these things are very real to me. Because whenever I read that poem, you noticed it was a break in my voice. Because I only have one brother. I only have one that's living. And I just hope that some things change before I would need to go to his funeral. It's just the bottom line. That's just the bottom line. A little brother follows me. He's 5 years younger. That gets pretty heavy sometimes. It really does. We can blame it on all kinds of stuff that happened in our past. And that church leader back there that did me wrong, we can blame it on our mom and dad that were a little too abusive or whatever else. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. These are very solemn words here. Very solemn words. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And what else does it say? Thinking about the subject of this evening. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And your sister's way. Take the word brother out and put sister in if it suits you better. So you understand it. Why are we going to judge our brother? Why are we going to belittle someone? Why are we going to put him at naught? Call him Reka, like Jesus says. Call him a fool. No way, we may not. There's eternal consequences for that if we don't repent. We're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account, not of everybody else, but of us, ourselves. Every one of us shall give account of himself, herself, to God. The blame game won't work. The blame game won't work in that day, my friends. The testimony that we've carried in life, the reputation, the influence we've carried in life, that will be the final word. And I did say, you heard me say, that I know there's deathbed conversions, and I know there's foxhole prayers. There probably was a number of them said when the World Trade Towers were going down. I wouldn't doubt it. We may see people in heaven that were present there that day. And many, many, many other times. I just remember the story my dad told me one time of the close to the end of World War II, an American tank came rolling into this one section of battlefield, and there was a German man crossing a certain area over across the field. And they took that tank and mowed him in half right at his waist with those cannons shooting out of the tank. And his last words were, as he fell to the ground and now in two pieces, "Oh God, my Frau and mein Kinder. Oh God, my wife and my children." Who knows what he said as he hit the ground? He might be in heaven and meet us there. How do we know? But let's not wait till disaster strikes to get right with God. If God's talking to us, the time is now, not later. If our testimony's not clear, and the good news tonight that I want to make sure that everyone hears is that if you know right now that your testimony, regardless of what your name is, what your position is, if you know your testimony, your influence, your reputation isn't what it ought to be, tonight it can change. Tonight you can come in, and as the farmer that goes out to sow seed, tonight you can change the seed. Instead of sowing bad seed, you can have good seed put in there and go from tonight forward planting good seed. There might be some reaping for the bad seed, because the Bible says we reap what we sow. That's so true. Reaping comes, but we can start tonight to plant good seed. Not long ago, I was with a young man who was from a tempestuous church situation, so bad that in the last 6 years, the church has only had communion 3 times, if you could imagine such a thing. It's terrible whenever that kind of stuff happens. Just continual fighting and goings on and young people getting discouraged, and he's one of them. And he began to listen to the preaching of the word by another brother, and he wanted to get some stuff right. And he's worried about, he's the oldest brother in the family, and he's worried about his brothers. And he's worried about the testimony he was to other people around him. And he wants to get right with God. And I told him, my friend, there's possibilities, there's a bright future ahead. Tonight we can start planting another kind of seed, praise the Lord. And that can be your experience tonight. You can start planting another kind of seed. If you know your testimony, your reputation, your influence, you are not ready to face God, tonight it can change. Tonight it can change. Praise God for that. Tonight it can change. Before we end this message, we have to look at one more scripture. A very sobering reality. Luke chapter 16. Most of you sitting here know the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man and Lazarus. And how the rich man lived a wealthy life. Evidently, he did not have a good name, but he had great riches. Evidently, he did not have loving favor because of the way he treated the beggar, Lazarus. But he did have silver and gold. This story indicates that. Evidently, from what we know, he served mammon and didn't serve God. Evidently, that's the way it was. And one day, Lazarus died. And one day, the rich man died. And Abraham and this man have a discussion in this story. And in the discussion indicates that the rich man would have been glad for one drip of water to cool his tongue. He said he's tormented in this flame. And that is one thing. I'm telling you, if you've ever been at a place where there wasn't water and you were thirsty and really thirsty and it was terrible hot and there was no water to be had, that's a sad life to live. But people that are in eternal torment tonight, that's what they know. I mean, that's serious stuff right there. And so this man very quickly realizes that he cannot do anything about his own condition. Now I want to read verse 27. Then he said, this rich man in torment says to Abraham, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they come unto this place of torment." And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one be raised from the dead. Oh, those are powerful words. He couldn't save himself anymore. He saw that. He knew that. And yet he says, I have five brothers. Do something for them. He says, if someone rises from the dead, they will listen. Let me ask you something tonight. Who that we serve rose from the dead? Jesus Christ. The whole tenor of Scripture, the whole totality of the Word of God, bringing immortality and light to life through the gospel we read out of 1 Timothy. That whole thing is underwritten by the Lord Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. And if we deny that, if we turn our back on that, there is no salvation. For there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And if people don't take that as their answer, there is no answer. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They have some neighbors right down the road that could show them the light. And that's what we were talking about last night. They have a church building where there's some seating space available. They could hear it. They could hear the word if they would want to. And may we never be the ones that are the stillig land and land, the quiet people of the land that refuse to talk about it. Let's be the ones that tell people about Jesus. I have five brethren. He was worried and concerned about his testimony that he left with his five brothers, the reputation he left with his five brothers, and the influence that could potentially bring them right to where he was. And many people more down through the years of history are in the same condition tonight, lamenting and lamenting, and that's all they can do. Will that be your case and mine tonight, if your testimony, your reputation, your influence is not what you want it to be? Tonight can be the night that you change. I would like to sing an invitation hymn.